You're listening to Vulcan Has a Faith, the audio podcast about New Birmingham and the people making a difference. All right, it's another great day in Birmingham. I'm so glad to be here today with Leanne Knight. How are you, Leanne?
Great, thank you.
Good. We sure appreciate you being here. You know, I can't tell you enough how much it means to us to have people come in that are doing things like you're doing, which we'll talk about, and just helping our community.
Thank you for having us.
So, you know, I like to ask a little bit about you know, outside of what you do, tell us something about yourself.
Yeah. My name's Leanne Knight, and I recently came on board with Safe House about a year and a half ago. Prior to that, I spent 25 years as a classroom teacher. And
oh, wow.
So I just wanted to make the second part of my life, you know, meaningful, doing something else. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to retire from school teaching, but I didn't want to just sit at home. So I started looking for opportunities to do things that would help others, and boy, did I find one.
Well, I can't wait to get into talking about what you do, because it's... I just, you know, it's so awesome what you guys are doing, and it touches my heart.
Good.
So, you know, we here at Vulcan As a Fade, our cause, you know, when, you know, we do two things here. We raise awareness for people like yourself that are doing great things in the community and helping people, especially, and we raise awareness for Lyme disease.
Yeah.
So, you know, people with chronic illness or domestic abuse, autism, some of the things like that, we're just very passionate about. So we appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So what do you like about Birmingham? This is a Birmingham podcast.
Yeah.
So what do you like?
Having grown up here, you know, I like to see how it has grown and it's evolved over time. And I like sort of the rebirth of Birmingham right now with Regents Field and Railroad Park. And my favorite restaurant currently is Slice. Eat there all the time.
You like some pizza then, huh?
Yeah, it was just wonderful. You know, so that's sort of my favorite restaurant right now. But, we're located in Pelham, so most of my time is spent in Shelby County, but we venture north sometimes.
Yeah. So you mentioned Regents Park. Do you go there often?
I've been a couple of times. Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, have you been to the new Uptown District?
I have not. Everyone else has been but me, so I look forward to going.
If you like good food, you need to go check out some of those restaurants. Yeah. I want to really get into this, spend some time on what you do. So tell us, what is Safe House and what is Safe Shelby?
Okay. Safe House is an organization that serves more than just Shelby County, but we're located in Shelby County. We're a domestic violence provider, which means that we provide shelter. When someone is actively fleeing domestic violence, we can provide shelter, care management type services for them, which that includes counseling, medical, helping to find jobs, you know, just whatever a victim needs in order to get their life redirected in a positive way. Mm-hmm. We provide legal advocacy, legal counseling, court accompaniment, assistance in filing protection from abuse orders. So if there's a service that a victim needs and we don't provide it, we'll help get it. And my particular program is called Safe Shelby Sexual Assault Services. That's a mouthful. But we are a program of Safe House of Shelby County. Let me back up and say that Safe House serves Shelby, Clay, and Coosa counties, and Safe Shelby serves all three of those in the addition to Chilton County. And so what we do is we provide forensic exams. You've often heard them called the rape kit exams. Mm-hmm. We provide the forensic interviews, and then all of the services that Safe House clients are privy to, so are Safe Shelby clients. So we see them at times of crisis right after their rape has happened within the 72 hours, but then we can continue to see them and assist them on an ongoing basis to help them through this time. All Safe House and Safe Shelby services are free of charge. And one thing I'm especially proud of is that even if the assault happened years ago, we still offer services. So if someone has suffered, you know, childhood molestation or adult rape, whatever it is, we can still provide counseling to them, men, women, and adolescents 14 and up. We counsel 16 and up. And unlike other programs who have a cap on how many counseling sessions that they have, we can provide counseling as long as a client needs it.
Wow.
Free of charge.
And it's free of charge.
Everything we do is free.
So Anyone that's going through something of this nature, they don't have to worry about the cost.
Right. We never ask for insurance, any type of reimbursement ever.
So let me ask the basic question. Okay. I mean, we hear a lot about domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? I mean, you mentioned the sexual part of it,
right.
But I'm sure there's some mental abuse and things like that.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about it?
As far as domestic violence, it can be the what we traditionally think of as spousal abuse with physically hitting. But domestic violence goes beyond that. It can be emotional abuse. It can be financial abuse. It can be the abuse of a parent or a disabled child. For example, if you have someone that's caring for an elderly parent, but yet they are taking their money, they're withholding, medications, anything of that way, and any type of control in an abusive way is domestic, abuse.
That's just something I wouldn't have thought of. When I hear domestic abuse, you usually think of spousal abuse, basically.
You do, right.
But you don't think about parents and their children, mm-hmm. or vice versa.
Right.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. So we try to help in any way that we can.
Yeah. Well, that is so awesome. So tell me a little bit about how you got involved. You said you were a teacher initially, uh-huh. for 25 years.
Yes, 25.
Oh, my goodness. So how did you go from, you said you wanted to help.
Right.
So how did you get involved with this?
Well, honestly, by accident, I suppose. I just decided that I was ready to make the leap, and I just sent a text message to three of my best friends that I respect what they do, and I think they're, accomplished ladies, and that I would trust them not to steer me in the wrong direction. And I just said, hey, I'm ready. What do you know of? And one of my friends immediately texted back and said, I know what you would be perfect at doing. So wow. I applied, and, I never dreamed I would get the job, but I love it. So, and
that
I've been there ever
awesome.
Since. Happy every day.
I know it probably has a lot of fulfillment
it
for
does.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
In my day job, I do have a day job. We have a newer employee that's been with us a little while now, but she used to work with United Way,
mm-hmm.
About domestic abuse.
Yeah.
So we've started doing campaigns for that too.
Uh-huh.
So it's been very interesting to me about hearing, what you guys do and the community's doing. So who does the organization serve? You mentioned the three counties.
Right. Three plus that's Shelby, Clay, and Coosa. And then for sexual assault, the addition of Chilton County.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And we serve, as far as Safe Shelby sexual assault, we serve men, women, and adolescents 14 and up. Safe House serves adults, 18 and up. But with that, let's say it's a woman who is a victim of domestic violence, and she comes into our shelter, we can also allow her to bring her children with her.
Oh, wow.
So we have a really beautiful shelter, and it's very much like a college dorm with a common space, a big, nice industrial kitchen where the ladies prepare all the meals for all of the residents there. The rooms are super nice that can accommodate 4 to 5 people with private bathrooms, laundry area.
Oh, wow.
And on site are the counselors, the case managers, and also we try to keep it all right there together. And it is at an undisclosed location.
Okay.
Behind cameras, and we try to keep the women very safe.
Well, that's what it's all about.
Right, exactly.
I can imagine how important it is to be confidential and secure.
Yes, it is secure. And so is our sexual assault clinic is located in Pelham, and we're not undisclosed. We want everyone to know where we are.
Right.
But we are also behind lock and key, behind, every entrance is monitored with cameras, and we're right across the street from the police station, so we can have protection as we need it. But yet it's also in a very private, sort of tucked away area, so that if someone wants to come to us but they don't want anyone else to know, it's not where anyone's going to drive by and see their car. They can come to us feeling totally confidential.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So as far as the shelter, is there a time limit or is there a time limit on someone?
Yeah. Generally, it depends. It goes case by case. We have some clients that stay 2 or 3 days a week. We have some that can stay 30 days, 60, 90, to 6 months. And when they come in, that our counselors and case managers work very closely with them to find out what their goals are, what their needs are. Some have been so abused, they have not been allowed to work. They don't have a penny to their name. They don't have any kind of identifying, information. So we may have to start with them getting driver's license and getting their Social Security cards back. But as long as they are working, what we call working their program, so as long as they are working with the case managers and they are diligently trying to get their life in the right path, they're not just using us as a place to live, but they're really buying into the program and working towards that, they can stay even up to 6 months. So, after that, we can help them to find transitional housing, and we help with finding employment and, just whatever they need.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
So how do y'all get the word out about, do y'all have events coming up, or how do you promote what you're doing?
About 50% of my time is out in the community. Oh. So whenever an opportunity like today comes up, I'm ready to go and talk about what we do. There are several of us that community outreach is part of what we do. We are out in the community. We're out at events. We are appearing at every farmer's market and, fair and anything like that that we can do. We're going into the colleges that are in our service area, the community colleges, such as Jefferson State, University of Montevallo, Faulkner. Anytime we can get on campus, we're excited about that. We're happy to speak at churches, any type of events. We also are trying to get people to share us through social media. But even though we have a lot of printed materials that we hand out whenever possible, we depend on people like you to spread our word, because social media and media in general is a lot more effective than us going out door to door.
I mean, that's where everybody gets their news these days, what's going on around town and everything.
Right.
So
yeah.
I can see that.
Uh-huh.
So do y'all have any events lined up in the future, like in March or April?
We are working. In fact, 2 months of the year are our largest pushes. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. But we're currently planning for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is in April. Okay. So we're in the planning stages for several events. Last year we had a very successful, it was called the Iron Skillet Cook-Off, and where a lot of people came into Pelham, and we got our word out like that. But we're planning some big events, so I'll be sure to share those with you.
Please,
so that you can
do. We would
publicize
love to get the word
when we
out.
Have dates and we have locations.
Yeah, we'll be glad to post those. Anything that we can do to help,
we
would love to do so. So how can people get in touch with you guys? Do y'all have a website? Do you have an email? Mm-hmm. Give us some ways.
Both, all of the above. They can call just our crisis line and just say, I want to help. Give me some information. But the simplest way is just safehouse.org, and that will direct you to me or you know, to whatever area that you're interested in, and we can, you know, hook up that way.
Safehouse.org.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and what is the crisis phone number?
It's 205-669-7233.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. We'll be sure to post those things also to get that out there. And also, you know, Leanne, we sure appreciate you being here. I can't tell you that enough.
Thank you. Can I put in a plug for a couple of other things?
Oh, absolutely,
Safe House is, not only are we always looking for monetary donations, we're also looking for in-kind donations such as clothing, sheets, towels, shampoos, things of that nature. And we're also looking for boots on the ground. So we need volunteers at to help in our shelter, to help us with outreach, to help us with all different things. And one of those things is that we have a program with Safe Shelby where people come and they learn how to provide direct services to victims of rape. And they're called advocates. And we have a huge, you know, opportunity coming up at the end of February where we'll do an advocate training. And these advocates, they are there when victims come. And they greet them at the door and they explain the services. They are the hand to hold while we're going through the process because when a victim comes to us, they may bring a family member or a friend with them, but because of the legal aspect of it, we can't have them in the forensic exam or the forensic interview. So advocates are specially trained people that go with them that can answer their questions, offer referral services, just can be there with them. So if you're interested in becoming a volunteer with Safe House or a sexual assault advocate, or you have things you want to donate, or you want to write us a check, you just let me know. I'm your girl.
So when is the advocate training again?
It's February the 24th, which is an all-day training. That's a Saturday. Okay. And then the three following Monday nights for a couple of hours, three subsequent Monday nights.
Okay.
And after that training, I mean, it's pretty in-depth training because we need to know what to say, what not to say. Mm-hmm. But I don't want that to sound intimidating. What victims need at that time most of all is to feel safe and to feel heard. So if what we work on more than what to say is how to listen, how to be a friend, how to listen, and to know of the services that we provide and to be able to help them at that moment of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want anybody to be intimidated by the training. It's not intimidating. The subject matter is very heavy, but we try to make it as fun as we can. After that, they would shadow a couple of cases, and then they'll be ready to serve on cases, you know, independently.
Wow, that is awesome.
It's fun. Yeah.
So,
that didn't sound right, but it's rewarding.
Absolutely.
Very rewarding.
So is all of your money received to run the program, is it donors or do you have
and
businesses
grants.
And
we,
grants?
We, okay, Safe House operates off of several grants and I can't list them for you. We do get assistance through United Way, VOCA grants, a lot of federal grants. We have grants through Shelby County, the arrest grant. Safe Shelby is in partnership with Shelby County and the Shelby County Sheriff's Department, and we receive donations. And Safe Shelby is primarily funded through Office of Violence Against Women and Shelby County.
Gotcha. Well, you know, grants are so important for programs like this, but I would encourage everyone to think about giving. If you're looking for a cause to give to, this is a very good cause, and you never know, grants are there one day and they may be gone
the
next. So
exactly.
You know, you guys really need the people to step up and give if they're looking for a place to volunteer or give.
Right. And so often grants are, the money is tied to a certain purpose. So we have purposes beyond what the grants often do. And so we're always needing local donors to give us what's called unrestricted funds so that we can provide other things that grants would never allow us to cover. And, you know, I really can't give you a lot of specifics, but for example, we have a Christmas party at the shelter and we want to have a Santa come in and we want special gifts for the little children, then we can go and buy them all, you know, something special, where if you are restricted by grants, you can't spend that money, you know, in certain ways. So local donations are always huge for us too.
Yeah. Well, we, again, we appreciate what
you
do. Anything we can do to help out, we would love to do that.
I appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you, Leanne.
Thanks.
All right. You know, we just did an interview with Leanne, and I'm very thankful to have Tracy Bettis with us. How are you, Tracy?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, good. You know, Leanne was talking about the program at Safe House and Safe Shelby, and it's such an important thing with what y'all do. And I really appreciate you being here because you're an advocate.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's just, without the volunteers and the advocates and the donations, none of this would be possible. So, you know, I'll tell you, if nobody else does, we appreciate what you do.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm more than happy to do it. It's a blessing to be able to give back to some of those that really need it, because so often they get put to the side like it's no big deal, and it really is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, before we get into all that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm Tracy Bettis, of course, and I'm originally from McGee, Mississippi. That's where I was born and raised, and my husband is actually from Jackson, Alabama, and we retired here after serving in the military. I did 24, and he did 23 years in the Army.
Oh, wow.
And we decided to make Clear a home because we wanted to be closer to our parents, and just recently he lost his mother, so for cancer, and so that's been a big thing, ongoing thing for us. But Leanne has been amazing, along with them being a support system for myself. And so now, as of 2015, I started going to school at University of Montebello, where I first met Leanne in my class for social work.
Wow.
And right now I graduate Lawrenceville in December with social work. And then after I complete my bachelor's degree, I'm going to get my master's at UA. And I want to work with veterans. And now, like, since I've been working as an advocate, I'm kind of sort of leaning, like, in the middle between the veterans, what I really want to do, and that's veterans with, like, PTSD, anxiety disorder, homeless, and other, you know, disabilities that they may have, along with helping them get benefits that they may need and stuff like that. But as an advocate on that side, now I'm leaning toward that as a backup. Like, okay, I've been working with, you know, sexual assault and rape victims that have, you know, a lot of emotional issues that a lot of people, you know, they kind of, like, cannot relate to it. They put them, like, oh, it's no big deal. Let's do this. You can get over this, you know. But it's major, and it's something that's going on in our country that's been going on for a long time that now, as you can see, it's coming out even more. So we need to provide that to those people that need it, and that's what my intention is going back to school and getting my degree and bachelor's so I can help some of those that, like I said, that need the help the most.
That is so awesome. Before I go any further, I really appreciate your service in the military, you and your husband. You know, with all the things that are going on in the world, without people like you, we would not continue to be a free country. So,
well, I thank you for saying that, because a lot of people don't feel that way. You know, they just look at us as, hey, they doing the military, but they don't understand, like, there's a lot of sacrifices the military give up. There's a lot of emotional turmoil, and a lot of people have lost their families, you know, to the service, being deployed and things like that. And I've been on 8 deployments, and I say I'm a blessing just walking around every day to make it back. And as you see, I'm walking and I'm able to talk and I'm living the dream that I wanted to do. So it's a blessing.
And you're able to continue that service by helping others through your advocacy now. So we appreciate that so much. So let's get back to what you're doing with Safe House. You're an advocate. So tell us what it means to be an advocate for anyone that's interested in doing the same thing you're doing.
Okay. As on an advocate side, we're on the Safe Shelby. Like, there's the Safe House that deals with the domestic violence and things of that nature. And then Safe Shelby, which is the one that Leanne and I, work at. So as an advocate, you provide so much to a victim. So they come in and they're disarrayed and they might even have family members that's really not supportive of them, and so they need somebody to be on their side. So as an advocate, that's pretty much like what you do, but you also have to understand that you can't, like, put yourself in it. So if you have been through the same emotional abuse yourself, you got to be able to set aside my feelings and think about their feelings and always, you know, empathize with them. Not sympathize, but you empathize with them to show them that, hey, is somebody here, we're going to do this, we're going to care for you, and we provide, you know, like, since they're going through forensic, then they have to get clothing, so we provide the clothing for them. And as an advocate, like, I also, you know, I'm like Leanne's, like, hey, come join us. You know, this is not exciting to go and work with a sexual assault victim, and I don't want to get a call, but that's what I'm here for. And so, you know, I advocate to get other people to come and volunteer, and I also go in the community and ask people, like, if I have a dental appointment, hey, y'all got extra toothbrush and toothpaste and stuff, because they need that, you know, to give to the safe house, because that's some of the things that we provide for them. We provide them, like, shampoo and, you know, toothbrush, toothpaste, because, you know, they've been through a lot. And so all the, even though that's small, but that's major. That one thing might be the one thing that saved that one person's life, so you never know. And when you want somebody to be there for you, if it happened to you, and it's not just females, it's males and females. So, but unfortunately, like, for our advocates, we only have females, but there are other things that males can do. So if you want to volunteer and you're a male, let's go. You know, we here to provide service to those that really need it. And like I said, in this world, if we had more people that think of others rather than themselves, we could be a better world.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned being in school. So how do you balance, or I guess with the advocacy, tell us a little bit about how often you volunteer or how that's structured.
So what happens as a volunteer, like Leanne said before, you get trained. You go through the Saturday training, and Leanne is amazing because she always has snacks and different things. And, you know, so, you know, you will have some food. So if you come hungry, it's okay. She's going to have some stuff for you. And then what happens is once you get through with the training, she say you shadow, then what you do is, like, a person like me that's already been trained, because I've been there from day one with them. They open up December, and I was one of the first teams that trained with them, and we've been there. That was, is it 2015 or 16? Okay, 16. November of 2016 is when I went through my training. And in December, they opened up, and we were there, and so we've been there since. And so how it works is Leanne has set up a timesheet. So you go online and you log in, and it says trained advocates and shadow, and then other things that they might need as admin or babysitter, because they also provide counseling. So some of those people that counsel, they have children, and, you know, so, like, sometimes if I'm, like, if it's summertime, I try to help volunteer with that. But in, like, school session, I really can't volunteer for that. But how you volunteer is a 12-hour shift. So you get to pick and choose when you volunteer. The only thing they ask is that you give one weekend and one weekday. So really that's twice mandatory that you have to do if you committed to it. Even though it's volunteer, but, you know, if you sign a contract, say, hey, I'm going to do this, then you should give your word and keep it. So me, I volunteer. I look on the sheet and I'll see, like, okay, I got this going on for school, and I get this going on, so I can volunteer Monday night. I normally do nights, so I go from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. the next day. So in between that time, if I get a call, then I got 30 minutes, and I already have my stuff laid out. And I just, and you don't put on anything fancy or with names, because you don't want to, you know, the person, that name or something might jug something, so you don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I just have something basic, put on T-shirt, and, you know, and I have a Safe House T-shirt, Safe Shelby T-shirt. So we put that on and then go, and that's pretty much it. Like, you go in, and like she said, we greet the person, and then you just on call for 12 hours. Now, if you do the a.m. shift, which I have done a lot lately because some of my classes are a little bit later, so I don't have to be in like 12 or something. So I'll say, okay, I got 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., but I'm going to be at school for an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes, so if somebody can cover me, and that's never a problem, I'll just let them know. And then after that, I'm on call. So anybody that want to volunteer, those are the shifts. It's either 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And you may or may not get a call. Now, you don't want to get a call, but if you do get a call, those are your time. That's your window. So you pick and choose when you go.
So as an advocate, there's some flexibility there for your scheduling. So if you are in school or you work part-time or whatever, it's pretty convenient to be able to choose those things.
Yes, and look, you know, for me, I'm not working like since I retired. This is like my next job that I'm doing. So thankful to God that I can you know afford to go to school and you know do this the volunteer. So I'm giving my time because I also have to volunteer for my program as well. Mm-hmm. And like next semester, then I'll start my intern. So you know, I just have to. A lot of it is about time management, which I'm used to time management. So if you use time management, something come up, let's say if I'm on call, because, you know, things happen. So if I'm on call, like when my mother-in-law was sick, you know, and I knew I was on call, and at the last minute, like, oh, my God, I forgot. I just call Leanne and say, hey, listen, because she's over all the advocates. And I call her and let her know what's going on. And someone always covered for me. So it's we are family, and I consider them my family. Her and the same nurse and the other people, the other social workers that work there, we all a family. So we take care of each other, and that's how it's done.
That's so awesome to have a team that feels like family is important too.
It is. So yeah.
Well, again, we appreciate you coming in and talking a little bit about this because it kind of gives two sides to things too, and advocacy is so important for this cause.
Yeah.
So we do appreciate you being here.
No problem. And remember, I'm at the training also, and so when you're doing your scenarios, you got to do them with me.
How could that not make you want to join up?
Now, everyone should want to join because this is amazing, I'm telling you. Yes, it's lovely.
I'm sure it's very gratifying.
Honestly, it is gratifying, honestly. Yes. And I don't mind, like, you know, like I said, if you think about it, like a lot, you never know, like, what people are going through. And your one little nice words of kindness or motivation might be the one word of kindness or motivation that saves somebody's life. Because some of these people, you know, they come in and they really don't think nobody's there for them. And, you know, they could commit suicide or, you know, they could go and do the same thing to someone else. So you want to give them that out so they know that, hey, you're a survivor. I'm empowering you to survive and you're going to survive. And that's kind of like how I talk to them. It's some people, you know, they're different, they're this way, but Leanne can be a witness, the nurses can be a witness. I'll tell you, like, if I have to, I'll call Cadence on them. You know, if I got, you know, I'm serious, like, yeah. I call Cadence, you know, or and all that is just, like, as an advocate, you getting their mind off of the things they're going through and putting them in a better space. And so if it means I'm out there saying, here we go, on the run, just fun. You know, I do stuff like that because, like I said, even like in this room right now, I have changed the whole mood, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's what I'm saying. So that's what you need. You need that type of mentality when you go and volunteer. No matter I don't care what you're volunteering for, whatever it is, you give all you can to everything that you can.
Yeah. You've got such a good outlook. I love that.
Yeah. I can get more people to think that way.
Yeah. Well, we sure do appreciate you being here.
Oh, yes, no problem. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vulcan Has a Fade. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and